Family dinners were the first thing I was homesick for when I moved out. The warmth of laughter, the smell of Dad's pork roast filling the house. Dad's pork roast. There's nothing quite as comforting as the smell of home-cooked meals. That's why I learned to make my dad's recipes. Now, this house is finally starting to smell like home.
Good food, good traditions, one great meal. Come together with Swift.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 15th day of December 2022. And tonight we have quite a program tonight. So they're the guardian of the board and our producer, Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody. Almost the weekend.
All righty. You know what? You better turn your mic up. I can barely hear you. All right.
That's a little better?
No, you better adjust it. You're not coming through.
Now.
Now I can hear you.
There we go.
Okay, there you go. Now, live here in the studio where I can keep an eye on both of them, we have none other than Eric Thig there and Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone, and I just want to say thank you so much to all of you who've been praying for me and the notes and the cards. God bless each and every one of you.
All right. Now, our special guest tonight from the Community Support Foundation is Tom Fairbanks. Are you there, Tom?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. We have a lot to do tonight. I'm going to open in prayer. And then, Tom, the scripture this week, the title of my message was Baal, Moloch, and Woke. A lot of people don't understand what this woke movement today is exactly what Baal and Moloch was of their day. It's the exact same thing. And so here, we're going to start off in 2 Kings chapter 22, and this applies to America today in a major, major way. As we go through this, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, and let you tell us about what is happening there with the Amicus Brief letter and the support for the Brunson brothers. So let's start here in 2 Kings chapter 22 and in verse 8. But before I get into it, I want to go into a prayer very quickly. Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, it's going to be another one of those radio programs where, Lord, we're bringing information out that the deep state does not want out, Lord. And we know that time and time again how they've tried, how the dark forces out there, MoveOn.org and the Soros and all, have done whatever they could do to try to get us off the air. Well, Lord, here we're asking, we know, Lord, that Father God, that you are the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the only potentate. And so, Lord, we ask, Father God, Lord, that you speak to us tonight. Lord, that your message, whatever that message would be, to reach the hearts and the minds of the people, Lord, to restore America back to one nation under God, the way you gave her to us. Lord, so this is what we're here tonight to do, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to start in 2 Kings 22, verse 8. Now, here we see Josiah the king discovers the book of God's law. And you see now how this applies. We need, in this country right now, our legislators and our judges need to discover both the book of God's law and the Constitution. They need to discover both. And so let's start. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants gathered money that was found in the house and have delivered it into thy hand of them to do the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass that the king had heard the words of the book of the law. And he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, a servant of the king, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. Do according unto all that which is written concerning us. And so Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Azariah went into Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikvah, the son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. And they communed with her, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah had read, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, As touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before me, the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against the place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation, and a curse, and has rent thy clothes, and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto the grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went into his house of the Lord. And all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, which was with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and all of the host of heaven, and he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron. And he carried the ashes of them into Bethel, and he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the city of Judah, and the places around about Jerusalem, them also that burn incense into Baal, to the sun and to the moon and on the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook of Kidron, and burned it at the brook of Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereupon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women were hanging for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and brake down the high places of the gates that were in the entering of the of it, and the gate of Joshua, the governor of the cities, which were on a man's left hand, the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among the brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire to Moloch. And he took away the horses and the kings of Judah, and given to the son in the entering of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of sun with fire, and the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down, and he brake them down from thence, and he cast the dust of them into the brook of Kidron, and the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Zidonites, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, and did the king defile, and he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Now, here, this evil king Manasseh was the equivalent of Barack Obama or Joe Biden in our day. Now, folks, he wanted to sacrifice the children, and pedophilia in that day was like it is here today in America. The Democratic Party is flush with pedophilia. I mean, most people have had no idea just how bad it is. People don't have any idea about how wicked the killing of innocent children is. Now, here, when they burnt down the houses of the Sodomites, today, you know, Tom, I just want to, you know, just tell you, today, here, that the Sodomite was so vile, it was such a vile thing in that day, that again, King David ordered his men that when they killed a Sodomite, not to touch him with their hands, okay? And the very first time that word abomination was used, which meant the stench of rotting flesh in the nostrils of a holy God, was to describe this sin of sodomy and the Sodomite. And yet today, something that is so vile and repulsive to God, they have made, and this is exactly what the enemy does. He's always will turn good into evil, always in total opposition to what God's Word, the Bible, teaches. So not only has the woke movement, NBC, ABC, CBS, the public education system or the public indoctrination system, Hollywood, the entire Democratic Communist Party. And by the way, today, let me tell you, Planned Parenthood has replaced Baal, the sacrifice of Baal, for killings of millions and millions of innocents out there. But here now, they've become every bit as wicked and every bit as evil as Baal or Moloch, and we're referring to the woke movement out there today. And so now, here, when we take a look at this, we see Astaroth. Astaroth was considered the wife of Baal. And by the way, the word Baal, the meaning was the master or lord. In other words, he was the what they referred to as Kabir, to God the Father or potentate. Astaroth was his wife, was the wife of Baal, and Asherah was his mistress. That's the word I was looking for. His mistress, whore. Okay, and she was the goddess of male prostitution. Also, she was the goddess of orgies, and extremely wicked. Now, we met there, and the high places that were before Jerusalem were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption. The Mount of Corruption was the Mount of Olives. They had put up so many false statues, so many false gods there, that it was referred to as the Mount of Corruption. And I wanted to read again here. This is the woke agenda. This is the woke agenda of today. One, make abortion. Now, I've used their agenda, but I've replaced certain words with the correct terminology. Make abortion as plentiful and profitable as possible. Make it as profitable for wicked, whorish women, I added that, to carry their babies to term and sell them for organ harvesting. That's what they do right there at that so-called University of Pittsburgh. These wicked women, extremely wicked women today, they'll carry their babies to full term, and then they'll turn them in, and they'll dissect them alive. They'll use them for organ harvesting. It's wicked as wicked gets. Wicked as wicked gets today. Two, stock the libraries with pedophile grooming books aimed at kids. Promote drag queen story time in libraries. Promote gender fluidity to children. Introducing porn literacy into schools. Queer the curriculum. See, this is just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. By exposing children to adult LGBTQ, that's lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, queer ideology, introduce irreversible sex change operations for children, promote same-sex bathrooms in schools, introduce soft sentences for pedophiles, push to lower the age of consent. They want to lower the age of consent to 11 years of age. Demonize any parents who dare speak out against our agenda. This is the woke agenda. Report them to the FBI. Continue to promote the bioweapon kill shots as safe and effective. Keep convincing the simple-minded voter that our borders are secure. I added the simple-minded. They just said keep convincing the voter. Pervert the English language to changing definitions. Legitimize words such as transgender, transhuman, trans species, minor attracted, binary transition, gender fluidity as preferable lifestyles. Promote drag queen children's stories in libraries and public schools, and deny Christian children's stories on the grounds of it being unconstitutional. Force CRT, critical race theory, and LGBTQ awareness on all of our military. Categorize Christian patriot organizations such as the Tea Party, the Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee, the John Birch Society, the Unregistered Baptist Fellowship as terrorist organizations. Harass and investigate and prosecute pro-lifers. Ignore the violent crimes of the pro-death cult. Little by little, legitimize Satanism. And little by little, delegitimize Christianity. continue using ballot harvesting along with corrupt voter fraud and election rigging organizations like Dominion. Use the fake mainstream media to convince the simple-minded to believe them and not what they see with their own eyes. Refer to all Christian patriots as white, whether they're white or black Christian patriots, as nationalists, and brand them as terrorists and white supremacists. And so I want to stop right there. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back from this break. And then, Tom, you're up. So be right back after this.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they woke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna.
No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Some of us haven't been taking it. We've been fighting all along and pushing back against the Antichrist deep straight. But tonight we have here with us Tom Fairbanks. And Tom, tell us, what are the implications here with what is coming up in this amicus brief letter of support for the Brunson brothers before the Supreme Court?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I only learned about the Brunson Brothers just about a month ago. They came on my radar. I'm working behind the scenes with Barbara and Ken Cromar from Utah, who've been assaulted and attacked by the Goliath IRS. They've lost their home. They've been fighting for their rights, and you know, typical ugly judicial system. And Ken, through his website, CedarHillsCitizens.org, has been keeping a running track of publications and not only their experiences with the courts and whatnot. It's through Ken that I learned about the Brunson brothers. And oddly enough, and unbeknownst to both of us, one of the brothers lived about seven houses down the street from where Ken lived. And 2 years ago, after the failed election, the brothers got together and they were beginning to discuss what can you do? And I think that's probably the number one question that everybody in America is asking. Well, what can we do? And they've had a little experience with the legal system, and one of the brothers, Darren, who's probably the legal genius of the group, figured out that they could bring the matter into court to sue for their constitutional rights. Now, the thing that's really unique about the Brunson's case is that this lawsuit, this case, is not about fraud. It's not about the outcome of the election. It is strictly and singularly about Congress's failure to uphold their oaths of office and to follow the rules and the laws that they were required to investigate any claims of fraud, election fraud. Congress had the right and the direction that they should have taken a 10-day pause to investigate all the claims of fraud. We had about 100 people in Congress who were raising the concerns about election fraud. Instead, everybody jumps the gun and everybody decides, well, we don't have any choice. We have to certify the election. Well, that act alone of certifying the election without investigating whether or not there was collusion, whether or not there was fraud, whether or not the ballots didn't tally. It's not about the outcome. It's simply, did you or did you not follow the rules?
Now, let me ask you this, because Mike Pence indicated that, yes, he knew that there was election fraud, but then he had no choice. Under the Constitution, he had no choice but then to certify that. And that's not true. He had the obligation to investigate. Like you said, there were 100 legislators standing there before him with stacks and stacks of evidence of election fraud. And that was his job to say, like you said, let's take 10 days and look at this, right?
Exactly. And the mere fact that they didn't is the entire basis of this lawsuit. And of course, they've done it quietly. They've been through the court systems, getting rejected and overturned and overruled. And so they had filed the original case with Brother Loy Brunson, and he made it all the way to the federal court in the state of Utah, where the court decided to just sit on it, refused to make a decision. And so the brothers got together and discussed, there's got to be a way around this. So they discussed it, and they had another brother, Rayland, who filed an identical suit in a different jurisdiction. And while this case is sitting on hold, and Raylan's case gets all the way up to the federal court in the District of Utah, and they sit on it. And so the brothers reconvene, and they have another discussion, and the brother Darren, who is pretty much the legal genius of the group, they tasked him with figuring out a way to get this out of the courts. And so he searched and he searched, and he discovered that there is a Rule 11 in the Supreme Court that says if a matter is a matter of national security, an issue can be brought before to the U.S. Supreme Court under that guise. And so they submitted it. Now, I'm suspecting that
could you talk right into the mic, because we kind of you're right into the mic.
Okay, I think they've had not only divine help, but I think they've had some strategic help from people behind the scenes, that they've managed to get this matter to the Supreme Court under this national security emergency. And so they got it filed. They've had assistance from the courts helping them to perfect the filing. And so they were ready to file it. And then all of a sudden, I think the court realized, the lower court realized what was going to happen. So they ruled on it. So that eliminates the emergency ruling. And so they communicated back with the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court would said, well, we'll just take that out, but we're going to move forward with it. And so here we are. The Brunson Brothers lawsuit is now scheduled to be heard before the nine justices. And this is probably the most important case in the land, because it's all about whether or not they violated their oath of office. Now, interesting, at the last minute, the U.S. attorneys who are representing all 388 defendants, so 385 of them are Congress people, and they include, and then the additional three are Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Nancy Pelosi. So at the last minute, the Solicitor General relieves the U.S. attorneys and represents all 388 defendants. And in their arrogance, the Solicitor General waives the right to a hearing on the matter. Now, the reason that I believe that they waive the right and the arrogance is they believe that their entire argument is claiming that these 388 people are immune from litigation because of their office. But the contention in this brief is very simple. If you violated your oath of office, you have no immunity. This is the significance of this case, because if all of these people who have violated their oaths of office, who have created this fraud upon the people of the United States, they're personally liable. And they can be removed from office. They can be stripped of their offices. They can be stripped of their pensions. They can never run for office ever again. So imagine the implications that this has moving forward. For anybody to seriously think about wanting to be a legislator in this country, if you know you're going to be held personally liable for your decisions, how many of them might choose not to enter the game of politics at all? So the Brunson brothers very quietly end up in front of the United States Supreme Court without anybody seeing it. And now we're here. I can tell you that even in the process of creating the brief of support, this amicus brief, which is in vernacular, it's known as a friend of the court brief, We are asking the court to allow our voice to be heard, because the decisions that they are going to make is going to have an impact upon us. And who is us? The us is we, the people. And so that's why we're asking to the court to listen to our voice, listen to what we have to say, and as we weigh in, as we support the Brunsons, because the decisions that they're going to make will impact everybody. And so here we are. The court has accepted it. It is scheduled to be heard on January 6th. Now, that's an interesting date in and of itself. But because the Solicitor General has waived this, the Supreme Court could actually rule upon this at any time. And the only thing that really gets to be heard in this discussion is what's already been published. Now, I challenge everybody, if you're on Telegram, look for the Brunson Brothers. If you're if you want a direct website, you can find links to their stories on Cedar, C-E-D-A-R, Hills, H-I-L-L-S, citizens.org. That's the website from Barbara and Ken Cromar. And those stories are there. The direct links to the filings from the Brunson Brothers, the whole litigation is there. And I've been told that they're putting up the amicus brief and also our letter to the Supreme Court as well very shortly. I've emailed that to you today, and I'm sure that you'll make that available to your people.
I sure will.
We've included in there a copy of not only the letter from us asking one of the challenges that we're dealing with here is the rules of the court. There's a Rule 37 that virtually says that the only way that I can submit an amicus brief to the court is I have to be a licensed attorney to practice law in front of the Supreme Court. Well, I'm not an attorney. Neither are the Brunsons. So the fact that they accepted Brunson's lawsuit is interesting in and of itself. But their Rule 37 virtually precludes anybody who's a layman, who's not a licensed bar attorney, to practice or to be heard in front of the court. So as I pondered over what are we going to do, I submitted the brief along with this letter to the court as a support to the Brunsons and asking the courts to accept it anyway. And now we're asking people to continue with the letters to the Supreme Court, offering their support not only now for the Brunsons, but we're asking them to support the Friends of the Court brief as well. And that's why I would recommend your people, to those who listen to you, to gain access to the brief, to read it, to understand exactly what it says. Probably the highest compliment that we've received actually came from the brother Darren, the legal genius of the family, when he said that this brief ought to be tacked on every door in America because it's so informative of the process. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. We're fighting for America. And the Supreme Court is the highest land in the court, or highest court in the land. And what we're asking for them is to please consider all the facts that are laid out in the Brunson lawsuit. Then we lay out the rules. But we also, in the brief, we also make additional charges. Our additional charges is that we're declaring that they have committed some very, very serious violations. Deprivation of rights under the color of law. That's U.S. Code 18, 242. a conspiracy against the privileges, immunities, and rights. That's U.S. Code 241. We've also talked about how they violated U.S. Code 1983, which is the civil actions for deprivation of rights. U.S. Code 2381, treason. Whoever owing allegiance to the United States levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death or be imprisoned not less than 5 years or fined under this title, but not less than $10,000, and shall be incapable of holding office, any office under the United States. That's how serious this is. They've committed treason in their violations of oath of office. There's another one that they've completely violated. And this one's huge. U.S. Code 18, Section 2382. It's called misprision of treason. Whoever owing allegiance to the United States and having knowledge of the commission of any treason against them conceals or does not, as soon as may be, disclose and make known the same to the president or to some judge of the United States or to the governor or to some judge of the justice of a particular state, is guilty of misprision or treason and shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 7 years or both. How much of this treason has gone on and everybody has sat on their hands and kept their mouths shut? We have 388 members of Congress, which also includes the House and the Senate, who have sat back and said, nothing going on here.
Hold on right there for a minute, Tom. I'm going to bring up John McTurnan, Chaplain McTurnan. He's the founder, or co-founder of Cops for Christ International and National, and he's also a contributor here to this radio ministry. So I'm going to bring him up. Are you there, John?
I'm here, Mr. Ernie.
Say hi to Tom Fairbanks there.
Hi, John.
Hello, Tom. I came in and I was in the middle of what you were saying, but I agree. What I heard, it's music to my ears. I agree with everything you're saying.
All right, so now, but let me ask you this, and I'll let you continue, because we really got to get people writing letters. We really got to get them writing letters.
Yeah.
And so to that court.
And times of the essence, because they're scheduling this on January 6th.
So I will try to get mine out tomorrow. And but here's what I hear, okay, because we hear a lot of chatter out there. And the courts, the reason, now, they all knew, like you said, they knew that high treason had taken place. They knew that that 2020 election was as fraudulent gets. I mean, and yet,
yes,
the word was, look, yes, we understand it was fraudulent, but if we try to overturn that, there'll be riots. Burn, loot, and murder. We'll be burning buildings down. Antifa will be coming in. The cities will be burnt to the ground. We'll have a total civil war. So we have to let the treason go. That was the mindset that was going around these courthouses. And in other words, that's how these cowardly judges were trying to justify not having the courage to stand up and say, you know what, the law is the law. But they didn't. They didn't have the courage. Once again, well, let's just betray the people after all. You know, they're getting used to it, I guess. So how do you answer all that?
Well, I probably answer it with this. The last thing we charge them with is violation of 18 U.S. Code, subsection 2384, seditious conspiracy. If two or more persons in any state or territory in any place subject to the jurisdiction of the United States conspire to overthrow, put down, or to destroy by force the government of the United States, or to levy war against them, or to oppose by force the authority thereof, or by force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law of the United States, or by force to seize, to take, or possess any property of the United States, contrary to the authority thereof, they shall each be fined under this title and imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. So not only have they committed treason, not only is there silence, they've created or misprision of treason, they have all been guilty of seditious conspiracy.
Well, let me ask you this. We know that. I mean, you know, I mean they don't even, they flaunt it. They could care less about what the law says. We looked at what Nancy Pelosi did there on January 6th. You have thousands of cameras, and all that film footage that showed what really took place, she would not release. That was evidence. Totally corrupt. When the president said, send out the National Guard to prevent that, they made sure the National Guard did not come out. Let me ask you this. What I would love to see is that everybody, every one of those people you mentioned, and all of those on that committee, this so-called select committee, would be placed in that very same filthy, dirty jail in Washington, D.C., where the Christian patriots, where the real patriots of the America, where their betters are, and every one of them. I'd like to see Nancy Pelosi, Chuckie Schumer, and all of them in that very same jail, and that includes Mike Pence, too, that those patriots are rotting away in right now today. What do you think?
Absolutely. The people need to see them being held to account. You know, and just think about it. If all of a sudden everybody who had an oath of office was responsible and liable to that oath of office, and we saw that people were going to have to be held accountable, how fast would we clean up this mess?
Boy, you're absolutely right. I mean, that would send shockwaves throughout the world. That would send shockwaves saying that America has reclaimed her sovereignty. America has once again reclaimed her dignity and honor, huh?
Yep, exactly. So in the brief, after
you got to speak right into your mic there, because when you turn your head away, we can barely hear you.
Okay, so after we lay out these regulations that they're bound by, we said there's ample evidence presented in the Brunson's motion and this front of the court brief to show that the Brunson's claims have plausible merit. The 388 people in concert with others have conspired to cause harm and have willfully sought the destruction of Brunson's and we the people's God-given rights, which lies at the heart of this entire matter. The public corruption discussed herein may well fall also under the RICO Act, which is racketeering, which focuses specifically on racketeering and allows the leaders of a syndicate to be tried for crimes, which orders others to do or assist them in doing. Closing a perceived loophole that allows a person who instructed someone else, for example, to murder someone else because they didn't actually commit the actual crime. That's what these people are actually doing, and it needs to be held. So our statement to them before our conclusion, therefore, it is incumbent upon you, the honors, as officers of the courts and servants of we the people, to bring this out into the light of day and expeditiously restore law and order to this nation.
Well, here I have in front of me an example maybe of a letter that was written. I mean, this would be maybe a type of a letter that you might write. This letter is to express my support for the Brunson Brothers case. I'm concerned that the United States has experienced a national security breach and a violation of every citizen's greatest power in a republic, voting. I ask that you stand against the adherence of foreign and domestic enemies and uphold the supreme law of the land. Granting this petition, you are truly in a position that represents our court system greater than the world has ever seen. I, along with many others, seem to be witnessing our nation being captured, and I am left to wonder if it might be by some of these very respondents. I pray for the right and the just outcome and grateful for your time and consideration. Would that be kind of a type of letter that we
might... Absolutely.
All righty.
Oh, absolutely. And so can you imagine if all of a sudden the Supreme Court is flooded with thousands of support letters to them? Remember, these people know who's watching. They know who they answer to. And so if there are more letters than just this case in front of the Supreme Court, you think they might think about how they're going to rule on this?
You know, if we could turn in 1 million letters, you're absolutely right. They would say, look, the jig is up. Everybody knows what's going on. Right now, they're watching us. Everybody's watching. This is a big case. This is a bigger case than the last one they ruled on. We really need to do the right thing this time. Now, let's say they rule and they bring these charges and they find these people guilty of sedition. How are they going to enforce it? We don't have a Justice Department.
Well, it's not the Justice Department that's actually going to rule here. First off, if the Supreme Court rules that they are guilty of the sedition and the treason and whatnot, the Sergeant at Arms immediately goes and removes them all from their offices. They pack up, they leave, and they leave without their pensions, their guns, they're out the door. But more importantly, because of who they are, this is also now a military action.
Yeah, but
the military.
We have Austin and Milley there at the head of that. I mean,
Well, yes, but I also know from other sources that Austin and Milley have people that they are afraid of.
Yeah, maybe Austin and Milley ought to be included in that.
Exactly.
What do you think, John McTernan?
It's so complicated, Pastor Ernie. They are so entrenched. They have such, it's like trying to decapitate the FBI, the Justice Department, probably the CIA. I mean, we have to take levels down in it. By the grace of God, I mean, it, only by God's mercy we'll be able to clean that rat's nest out.
Absolutely.
Well, we are obligated, first of all, most all of us have taken an oath to that Constitution, too. But we have a greater oath to God's Word, the Bible. And I just read from 2 Kings here out of the book of the law. And we have a much, much greater responsibility, obligation to God to do the right thing, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And this much I know. We've gotten this far because of the grace of God. There's no other way that they could have ever brought their case to the Supreme Court except for an act of God.
Now, that's very interesting again because, here, it's kind of ironic in a way, but that January 6th would be the time.
Yes.
So that would be... Now, let me... I think it's... Isn't it January 3rd that the new Congress takes place?
Yes, it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so they would immediately... if that was to take place, then the new Speaker of the House would be able to immediately... impeach Joe Biden.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Here's what we have to do. We got to get people motivated. We got to get people to do the right thing out there, to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Our country is at stake. Our freedoms are at stake. The freedom of our children. Our country's going to hell in a handbasket.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.